Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning and all who that are joining us at home. Would you please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin and read responsibly. God, who created the fields of Eden, takes delight in all things, including us. Christ, who walked the streets of our world, gives hope to all people, including us.
God of glory, God of grace, your Son and Savior of all creation.
God's Spirit, who stays in our hearts, bears truth and peace to us. Let us pray. Holy God, creation's artist, tiny infants babble your praises as you reach out and heal us with a touch of your fingertips. We worship you. Jesus Christ, gateway to grace. You make right what we have messed up. You build your kingdom on the foundation of our faltering faith. You stand with us in the midst of our suffering. We adore you. Holy Spirit, playmate of justice, you splash through the sea puddles in Eden's backyard, tracking the mud into kingdom's kitchen, leading us to the table. We open our hearts to you. God in community, holy in one, hear us as we pray. Amen. Let's all rise and sing hymn number 493, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Thank you.
Let's all bow for the offering prayer. As we offer our gifts to you, gracious God, remind us that we are called to serve in all the places where we will find you. At the entrances to broken neighborhoods, on the heights of despair, in the valleys of injustice, at the crossroads of poverty and hunger, in all those places, may we offer not only our treasures, but our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can place your offerings in the plate at the back of the sanctuary. Before you go looking for the scripture in your Bible, it's 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8, and you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 843. And I'll be reading from the Good News Translation. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and because he is coming to rule as king, I solemnly urge you to preach the message, to insist upon proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not, to convince, reproach, and encourage as you teach with all patience. The time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine, but will follow their own desires and collect for themselves more and more teachers Who will tell them what they are itching to hear? They will turn away from listening to the truth and give their attention to legends. But you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances, enduring suffering. Do the work of the preacher of the good news and perform your whole duty as a servant of God. As for me, the hour has come for me to be sacrificed. The time is here for me to leave this life. I have done my best in the race. I have run the full distance, and I have kept the faith. And now there is waiting for me the victory prize of being put right with God, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who wait with love for him to appear.
The wrong passage was my fault, by the way. I gave him the wrong passage. So now we have the right one. If you read the other one that's in there, you'd be wondering why I picked that passage. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have all of you here and at home on this special day. Today we will officially say, I do. But do you kind of feel like we eloped in January? Like we ran off into the sunset and just started living life together in January. But now it's time to make it legit. That's how I feel. The past 6 months have been wonderful. I have loved it. You have all taught me what it's like to be part of a church home. And I love you all. I love you. Yet there is something nice about making things official, about declaring publicly that we are here for each other, that we have each other's backs, that we'll figure out together how best to follow Jesus, that we'll walk together through bad times and through good times, that we'll love each other no matter what, because this is our church home. For those of you who may not have heard this story, I wanted to share how I came to be here. I'll spare the long history and begin in more recent days, but suffice it to say that the Holy Spirit has been on my tail for quite some time. So listen in, because you're all part of the story. About 9 months ago to the day, I was set to meet with my mentor, Dave Greiser, the lead pastor at Salford Mennonite. He's a beautiful person, a seasoned pastor, a wise counselor. I call him the embodiment of Mr. Rogers, so you get the picture. I was already in seminary and interning at Blooming Glen Mennonite Church as part of my seminary experience. And in previous sessions with Dave, I had made it clear I do not want to be a pastor. So in an effort to help me decide what I would do with my seminary experience and how I would serve God, Dave asked me to make a list of ministry areas I was interested in. He's so clever. So I made my list and I brought it to breakfast and we talked through it, and lo and behold, what I wrote down was apparently what pastors do. So I'm pretty sure Dave laughed at me in the nicest possible way. And after breakfast, I said goodbye to Dave, and overnight, that list wormholed in my head and in my heart. The next morning, I was praying and feeling thankful that I had a wonderful job, a business in Hawaii that my business partner and I had built over 21 years. Our business has kept our families afloat for 21 years, more than two decades. We raised our children in the course of that business. We bought homes. We moved. We did a lot. And it wasn't always easy, but it's gotten better and better over time. But on this particular morning, as I was praying, I inexplicably blurted out to God, I would love to work for you. And let me tell you, God works fast. Lickety split. The next day, I got a call from Steve Chris, and he said there was a church close to my home that was looking for a part-time pastor, and would I consider exploring the position? And what could I say? I mean, I had to say yes, and yet I felt strangely good doing so. Soon after, I met with Steve and Scott Roth, and then I met with the pastoral search committee here, and then I met with the ministry council, and the rest is history. We eloped in January. So, speaking of history, the first time I stepped foot in this church, I could sense that it was steeped in history. Not just the Revolutionary War headstones in the cemetery, not just the building, but the families. Many, if not most of you, are connected in some way, either through DNA or friendship. You have history with each other. And not all churches are like that. But our church home is. And you know, this land that this church sits on was given by the Geisinger family. I had the joy and honor to get to know this family better during the course of Lloyd Geisinger's funeral. And while preparing for the funeral, I got a sense of the deep, abiding faith, the creativity and humor and intelligence of this family. I felt honored to hear their stories. After Lloyd's funeral, I was talking to Lloyd's niece, Darlene, and she asked where I live. And I told her, and her jaw dropped. She asked, "I wonder if you're on Geisinger land." The next day, we emailed back and forth, and she sent me some maps and said, "The orange outlined areas are the tracts that the Mennonite immigrant Philip Geisinger, who lived from 1701 to 1791, acquired prior to the Revolution. He had more than 700 acres, which he distributed to his sons before the war. He was among the first European settlers in what is now Lehigh County." She said, "I'll be curious as to where your house actually sits and if it's on his land." She continued, "The stone house a few doors down from you was built by Philip's son Abraham." She says that's her ancestor between 1810 and 1820. And she says, "My mom and I have been inside that house several times, and we always feel the spirit of our ancestors in that place. It's incredible," she said. "The original log house that Philip built is believed to be across the street where the spring starts that feeds Moyer's Lake." I gave Darlene my home address so that she could do some digging. And this is what she discovered. She said, "I just looked at the Lehigh County parcel map, and it looks like at least part of your land is indeed on the immigrant Philip Geisinger's land. Take a look at the cropped map attached. You are surrounded by and drive on Geisinger land every day." Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. Your pastor lives on Geisinger land. What are the odds? Another weird little tidbit is that my house is shaped like a cross. It was built in the 80s by a Christian missionary. As I said, the Holy Spirit has been on my tail for quite some time, and God has such a great sense of humor. So for you history buffs, I'll include a little more of what Darlene shared with me in our Monday tidbit, so you can look for that. For now, it's enough to say that we are connected in ways we never could have predicted, in ways that we couldn't know even a few months ago. And I'm curious and excited to see what connections become apparent in the years ahead. It has only been 6 months that I've been serving as your pastor, and yet in this time we have lamented together, played together, shared stories of Hawaii together, since several of you have connections there. We've eaten together lots of times. We've studied together, gone on outings together. We've cleaned together. We've shared communion together. We have mourned together. We've discerned together. and laughed together also a lot in our church home. In any home, everyone pulls their weight, and it's no different here. All of you play some role in building God's kingdom through our life together here at Upper Milford Mennonite Church. Some of you feed us. Some of you tell the world about us. Some of you organize and lead us. Some of you care for our physical space. Some of you make our hearts sing to beautiful music. Some of you teach us. Some of you keep us connected online and in person. Some of you faithfully caffeinate us on Sunday mornings. Some of you help our kids become disciples, sometimes with marshmallows. Some of you share your artistic giftings with us. Some of you make sure the lights are on and off and the switches work properly, that the doors are locked or unlocked, that the bulletins look beautiful and they're distributed, that the bills get paid, the money gets stewarded, the elevator can bring people up and down. Some of you forge a cross for us out of reclaimed barn hinges. Some of you testify to and preach about God's transformational goodness. Some of you invite others to join us here. All of you love and serve and pray for your neighbors and each other in some way. The list goes on and on. This is how we make our church home together. Psalm 133 says, "How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity." That's us. We love each other and it feels great. But outside our walls, this is a consequential time. Children are being shot in their schools. The weather has gone crazy. Almost everyone is anxious to some extent. Prices are high. The poor and the oppressed are still poor and oppressed. Wars are raging. Justice seems rare. Our own denomination is debating what love requires of us. And some are suggesting splits or going our separate ways in a time when divisiveness is all the rage. We've drawn lines all over the place and labeled everyone and everything. Satan, the tempter, the liar, the deceiver, the accuser, is alive and real. The world doesn't feel Jesus-y a lot of the time. What do we do? How do we reconcile our beautiful church home with all of the evil in the world? A wise friend recently told me, "Go after God as a strategy for undoing the works of darkness." Sisters and brothers, this is why we're here. Being here together in our church home, going after God. It is a powerful act of spiritual warfare. It is a way to defeat the darkness in the world. It is a decisive blow to Satan. Just being us, Upper Milford Mennonite Church, with our doggy roasts and pilgrimages and Bible studies and Super Bowl Sundays and food pantry donations and MCC relief kits and care and share volunteering and ministerium collaborations and dreaming into future ministries. These may not feel adequate, and we may be small, but God's light is in each of us. In all of these acts of love. And where there is light, there can be no dark. Light always wins. This is what salvation looks and feels like. There is supernatural strength in being part of our church home. Our scripture today, 2 Timothy 4, 1-8, is a passage I had to memorize for one of my seminary classes. Unfortunately, I did not memorize the number of the passage. It was randomly assigned to me, and I had to read it over and over again. And it felt so inspiring. I felt like Paul was speaking to me. I took those words to heart. Yet, as part of our church home, as a member of this priesthood of believers, as sisters and brothers in Christ, as disciples, when I read Paul's passage now, I realize they're our words. They're for us, all of us. Proclaim the message. Be persistent. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with utmost patience in teaching. Be sober in everything. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out our ministries fully. This is a message for our church home. This is big work. It's kingdom work. And it is not work to be done alone. In fact, it can't be done alone. If we try to do this work alone, we'd end up feeling like Paul, like a libation being poured out. But there's no need for that because we have each other. And I'm absolutely sure the Holy Spirit wanted us to be together, to be joined today in our church home. So let's make it official. And know that in doing so, our combined lights, the ones you see on the bulletin there, they blind Satan. We are adding sacred bricks to God's kingdom. We are declaring our unity. We are participating in the salvation of creation. We are part of God's plan. We are Upper Milford Mennonite Church, our church home. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I got to know Jenny about 6 months ago, too, so we're in the same boat, but you probably know her a lot better than I do. What a gift God has given you here at this congregation by calling Jenny to be part and to be pastor here. I am beyond happy, beyond joyful to be here today to celebrate with you. There were four of us that could have come, and I was really hoping it could be me. So I'm glad that I could be here today. In your bulletin, you see a guide for our installation service today. And so I have some parts to read, and you have some parts to read. And Jenny has some parts to read. Pastor Jenny. Not Pastor Fujita, just Pastor Jenny. Right?
Pastor Jenny is how it's been. Or just Jenny is good too.
Okay. And I want to just make a small request. If someone could take a picture of, or a couple pictures of us today, we want to make sure that Pastor Jenny's story is told throughout Mosaic Mennonite. Oh, but we have a volunteer. Thank you so much. And after we do this reading, we want to have a prayer at the end. So Pastor Jenny and I will come down to the front, and we would like to invite some of you to come forward to lay your hands on her and also to pray for her. So it's not just me praying, but all of us praying and blessing her together. Let's start this morning with the reading. Sisters and brothers, we have gathered today in the presence of God and this assembly to install Jenny as pastor of this congregation. Who presents Jenny for installation?
We present Jenny. Believing that we have been guided by the Spirit of God, we have called Jenny to be our minister.
In commending Jenny for this ministry, Will you also uphold and support Jenny in it?
We will stand by Jenny in her calling.
Pastor Jenny, do you hold to the promises you made at your baptism and ordination?
I do.
Do you believe that this calling and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I definitely do.
Will you seek to be faithful in prayer, in setting forth the scriptures, and seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
Will you seek to live honestly and openly and justly with your brothers and sisters in this congregation?
I will.
Sisters and brothers, you have heard the commitment to ministry in this congregation made by Jenny. Do you receive Jenny as your minister? Will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with Jenny?
We will.
So we are going to move down to this bottom level, and we would like to invite others of you to come forward. I don't know if your daughters feel like coming forward to bless you or not, but it's not required, just suggested. Jenny today, I invite you to do that in a loud voice, and then as the time passes and it seems that we are ready to finish, then I will pray the final prayer and also anoint Pastor Jenny with oil. So I invite you to pray.
Strength.
Thank you, God, for this wonderful gift.
Wisdom.
Joy.
Love.
Patience.
And caring. Bless this ministry.
Intuition.
Joy.
Understanding. Loving. Happiness. Beauty in your time.
Sister,
Pastor Jenny. Anoint you today with the oil of God's Spirit, refreshing your calling that God has placed upon your heart. And here in the circle of beloved brothers and sisters, members of this congregation, we pray together. O God, you call your people to service through the church. Bless the covenant we have made together as pastor and people. We thank you for the calling to ministry that comes to each of us. And on this day, we especially thank you for the calling to pastoral ministry for our sister and our pastor, Jenny. Yes. Be a source of strength to Jenny. Endow her with the gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Lord, bind us all together in the bond of peace. And from Hebrews 13, verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought us back from the dead, and our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Give her a hug.
I'm glad you came.
Oh, I am glad I came. Wow, that was wonderful. Let's stand and sing, Here I Am, Lord, in your hymn book number 395.
Here I am, Lord, is it hard?
Beautiful music. You may be seated. Praise God for our church home and our life together and the salvation this brings. Let's pray. God, we align our wills to yours as we pray for the joys and concerns we heard earlier. We pray also that our enemies become friends, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted and justice be done, that all who are troubled have peace of mind, that wars end and violence be overcome by love in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed, and that we have the courage to pray for complete healing, even for ailments we perceive as incurable, because you are in us. That the outcomes of the MCUSA delegate session glorify you. That all of creation be restored. That the leaders of the world be led by love. That those who serve this church know that they are loved and appreciated. That this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you so much. And we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our sending. And the response is in your bulletin. So we'll send each other together. Let us go now as children of God who are mindful of all people.
We will go to seek as simply as little children, to share songs of joy we learned as infants.
Let us go now as siblings of Jesus, brother to the poor.
We will go to stand at the intersection of oppression and despair, to cry out for those whose hopes have been silenced.
Let us go now as heirs of the peace of the Spirit.
We will go to share delight with everyone we meet, to offer grace to those who have suffered most.
Let's sing May the Grace of Christ our Savior in your hymn book number 423.